looks like we're still missing just a couple of people. We're going to get started. We don't have any of our reps attending the meeting tonight, but they all sent me reports. So I'm going to go through those, and then we should have time for everything. Agendas pulled up. We're going to start with the approval of the agenda. I'm going to have Tracy take a roll call vote. And when she gets to your name, I just want to vote on whether or not you're approving the agenda. Okay? Everyone understand? Then we'll move into minutes. Okay. Okay, Tracy, you're up.
Okay, Anthony.
Anthony's here, and I approved the meeting minutes from last month.
Yeah, just say if you could just say yay or nay.
Sorry, yay.
And this is the agenda.
It's the agenda, yeah.
So, yay. Andrea.
Yay.
Andrew.
Oh, yay.
Craig. Craig. I thought I saw Craig. Is he here? Craig, say yay.
He's muted.
Or give me a thumbs up. Okay, we're going to skip him until he figures it out. Okay, Chris.
Yay.
Derek.
Yay.
George. Is George here? Yeah, George.
He's giving a thumbs up.
I got your thumbs up. Jane. I don't see Jane. I thought I heard her, though. Jane, are you here? Anybody see Jane? Okay. Jenna.
Yay.
Kevin.
Yay.
Nicole. I saw her mouth move. Okay. Newman. Anybody see Newman? Okay. Richard.
Richard is here. I say yay. I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Virginia. Thanks. I see Virginia. Give me a thumbs up. All right. And I am yay. All right. I'm going to go back. Craig. Hey, Andrea, can you see Craig?
Yeah, and I see his thing, and it's just on top of you. There you go, Craig.
Okay, Craig, yay or nay? Yay or nay? Craig, do you approve the agenda? All right. And did Jane come?
He's frozen, Tracy. It looks like he's just frozen.
Okay, that's fine. Did Jane show up?
Jane is here. Her mic is just not working, I don't think. Or she's not unmuting herself.
Okay, well, we have a majority, so.
Okay.
Okay.
Fantastic. Great. Okay, so let's move into the minutes. Approval. I do have one thing I saw at the end under the report. You just got STR instead of STBR. So. think it's under Chair's report about the ad hoc subcommittee.
Noted. Anybody else have any changes? I can take roll again. Okay.
I move to approve the minutes as amended by Andrew.
Thank you, Kevin. I'll second.
I second.
Let's roll call again.
Okay. Anthony.
Yep. I agree.
Okay. Approved. Andrea.
Approved.
Andrew.
Approved.
Craig.
Agreed.
Chris.
Yes.
Derek.
Approved.
George.
Approved.
Jane here yet? Nope. Okay. Jenna.
Approved.
Kevin.
Approved.
Nicole. I see her mouth moving. Okay. Newman here yet? No. Okay. Richard.
Approve.
I approve. Virginia. All right. That is it. Everybody mute yourself now. Thank you.
This is quick, really quickly. The same edit that Andrea brought up is also up on the first page of the agenda where there are the representative reports. So STVR instead of STR.
I will do a search and replace.
Great. Yeah. Okay, wonderful. So now I'm going to move to the representative's report. While I'm speaking, anyone who'd like to make a non-agenda public comment, please put your name in the chat with non-agenda public comment next to it. Anyone wishing to speak about the agenda items, please also put your name and which agenda item you're looking to speak on, so we can move through that quicker, and we don't have a whole muting, you know, people trying to talk fiasco. So again, if you're in here to talk about, to either give a non-agenda public comment, please put that in the chat. If you're here to talk about one of the agenda items, please give your name and the agenda item that you wish to speak on in the chat so we can go through those when it's the appropriate time. All right, wonderful. I'm gonna move on. All right, so first I have Teddy's update from our council member Jen Campbell's office. So the budget, he wants us all to know that the budget process is in full swing. Although it goes without saying, this will be a really challenging budget year. Not only have staff reports and projections been made prior to the full extent of the COVID-19 impact to our economy, the reality is that the city heavily relies on sales, hotel, and tourism taxes for its budget. Each have been dramatically impacted by the pandemic. There is an ongoing discussion of how the city can access federal CARES Act funding to support some of the budget impacts brought on by COVID-19. We continue to get calls to support our small businesses, and we'll be advocating for that support as the budget process moves forward. She also supports additional funding, our council member, the Small Business Relief Fund, which was included in the mayor's proposed budget. Councilmember Campbell is advocating for OB in the budget process by underscoring the need to maintain funding for core services. This includes libraries as well as funding for CIP projects, including the lifeguard station and OB library. She also continues to echo support for our small businesses, our business improvement district, police, fire, and lifeguards. As chair of the environmental committee, she is also prioritizing the goals of the climate action plan in the budget and maintaining core services to keep our communities clean, such as street repairs, tree trimming, trash collection, graffiti, and weed abatement. Another issue she is considering during the budget is the city's vacancy factor. Many of the other council members have also brought this up. Basically, the budget includes funding for positions that aren't filled. This is usually designed to plan for future hires, and there's a debate about the value of a vacancy factor, given the fiscal times we are in. So the office is accepting individuals' feedback. Anyone? I'm putting that link right now. And I, as always, if you have any questions or want to give any direct message to Teddy, you can email him directly. The key dates to remember, all week individual departments will be giving their budget hearings. And then on Monday, at 6 p.m., the City Council is just having a meeting for public input on budget. So if you'd like to attend and give any input individually for anything you want, 5/11, so next Monday at 6 p.m. And then the May revise will be released on the 21st, and the final budget should be voted for on June 8th. Okay, aside from the budget, Councilmember Campbell recently partnered with the mayor on the city's Slow Street program. This was an effort to alleviate congestion on sidewalks as more and more people, were beginning to exercise outside with limited open space options. This is a temporary plan to limit vehicle traffic in select areas to allow for better distancing as people walk, run, and jog around the community. There are currently no streets designated in OB because we want to get more input on whether this is something the community wants. The council member's memo on the issue can be found on our website, and we'll discuss it tonight. Additionally, town council will be hosting a forum tomorrow on the slow streets topics, going over what we discussed tonight as well. And that should allow for more community input. They're also going to be talking about parking at that next meeting, and I'll be there to answer any questions about all of the parking going on in Ocean Beach. Okay, final thing, if you wanna listen to it, Council Member Campbell recently did a Q&A session with SD Pride about their cancellations. If you would like to watch it, here's a link to that as well. From Councilmember Todd Gloria's office shared the same food distribution infographic that we got last week. So all of those are still up and running. And from the state level, on Monday, the Assembly reconvened in Sacramento for committee hearings and to continue the legislative session. The Senate will not be bringing back members until the 11th, so not until next Monday. Governor Newsom announced that beginning Friday, California will move into stage 2 of recovery, which includes reopening low-risk workplaces, so non-essential manufacturing, childcare facilities, retail businesses for curbside pickup. Offices where working remotely isn't possible but can be modified to make the environment safer for employees. The California Franchise Tax Board has pushed its deadline back until July 15th. So if you have any more questions about that and anything about unemployment, if you still haven't received anything, please email Michaela directly. And if you're in need of DMV services, they have a new virtual office. So if you're looking to request any of the services, again, Michaela Ball, Todd Gloria's office. We'll get that for you. Miller didn't have that much of an update, as the Senate hasn't met as previously mentioned, but he did say that Senator Tony Atkins' website has updates as they come in real time. They, of course, all apologize for not being here today, but you can email any of them directly with any questions you may want to have. Oh, no. All right. Awesome. So I have no one for non-agenda public comment. Is that correct?
Wait a second.
Yes.
Has the issue of parking, where are we on the parking issue?
We're having the town council public forum tomorrow night.
We are?
So I'll be there answering questions. And we're going to be hosting an open, or they'll be hosting an open forum about the safe streets as well. So we'll get a lot of great community impact, and it's not a final decision, I think, about anything. It's just a community conversation about where everything is and how to get started. Awesome.
Perfect.
Yeah. So a final call for non-agenda public comment.
This is Jenna. I just got a message from Newman that he's trying to get into the meeting. I think you may have to approve his registration. I don't know if it's too late.
I'm just going, can you forward him your email? That you got?
And he can just use that.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
I just saw that. Sorry. I'm trying.
No, that's okay.
Okay. So budget request revision is our first item up on the agenda.
Andrea, did I think Mandy had her hand up at one point?
Oh, for non-agenda public comment, Mandy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can't.
All right, thank you. I just wanted to let everyone know that the city is currently going through the application process for the redistricting commission. This is a commission that's established every 10 years to redistrict the existing areas within the city. You can go online to www.sandiego.gov/city-clerk/redistricting-commission if you are interested in applying for that position. The process does require you to be a San Diego registered voter. So that's one of the requirements, and you're not eligible to run for election for an election 5 years from if you do get appointed to the commission. So those are some things to think about. But you can, I'll put up the website information in the comment notes for everyone to reference if they're interested in it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Great. Now, as you just heard, me on behalf of Teddy. Council District's office is still trying to prioritize the lifeguard station and the OB library. Those are two of our biggest budget items, as well as park maintenance and tree cleaning. So it sounds like we're good there. Is there, so I want to go around, I guess, to each of the board members and just get, what your number one priority would be outside of what is already mentioned that was included in our previous budget letter. Does that make sense? All right. So I'm going to have Tracy do it by roll again. Tracy. So I think that means we'll do it alphabetically. So let's start with Anthony. Anthony.
Anthony.
Yeah, to talk about budget.
I have really nothing to add. I think that it looked good to me. I have no priorities to really add that would make any difference than what we've already discussed.
Awesome. Okay, great. I'm going to go to Andrew next then. Andrew's here.
I don't have anything to add, but I would just ask the question, do we need to or should we reprioritize or have to think about anything given the current economic crisis we're very well possibly walking into?
Do you have any suggestions?
I don't have the list in front of me, but I believe we had at least a handful, if not 10 or so priorities, and I don't know if it made sense to like have realistic priorities based on presumed limited budgets, lifeguard station versus crosswalk scale kind of stuff.
Right.
But I'm not suggesting we reprioritize or come up with, I don't have that answer.
Yeah. Well, I was just looking if you wanted, at this point, everything is kind of going to get cut. That's just the reality of the situation. Here, I'm pulling up the budget letter now.
Is the budget letter posted online? Is that where we should be looking?
It's the budget letter that's posted under our resources tab.
Okay.
Letters topics and recommendations, and it was posted with the agenda as well.
I have sort of a side question about the budget.
Yes.
That's in recreation center hours.
So it possibly could affect our meetings. I have discussed this with Tracy previously, and it's possible we could move to the women's club and hold our meetings there. But yeah, I would if rec center cuts hours, then we would not be able to host our meetings there anymore. So in our budget letter, our number one priority is our coastal access, so all of the stairs that are currently under construction. And then our second one is infrastructure and facilities projects, the two main ones being the lifeguard station and the library. And then the third we have is pedestrian and bike safety. So it's from the council member's office, it sounds like they are more in favor of taking our number two prioritization and making it the number one prioritization, with possible coastal access projects continuing to be underfunded. And so the large question that I would then leave is, do we still want to keep our coastal access projects as our number one priority, or do we want to focus more attention on fighting for lifeguard and library funding? I guess that's really what it comes down to, because the council member's office is making the infrastructure projects their priorities and not coastal access. Isn't mentioned anywhere in the budget.
I mean, coastal access is just going to bring more people to have access to our areas if we don't want it. I libraries myself. I mean.
Oh, shoot. Was I not muted? Sorry.
Thank you, Newman. It also looks like library hours, you know, are possibly going to be cut. Is that something like we would further be?
They're cut pretty bad. It's like they're cut pretty gnarly right now.
Yeah.
Barely open.
Well, yeah, it's not open at all right now, I would say.
Well, not now, but like even when school was in session, it was maybe an hour or two after school, if that. Like we had to plan our time around going to the library just because it's hardly open.
Got it. Nicole? I think you're still muted, Nicole. I don't think your mic's working, Nicole.
Maybe she should try calling in her smartphone.
Great. Okay.
Do you want me to still take, like, go through the roll?
Yeah, let's keep going through roll okay. While figuring that out.
Okay, so Andrew, did you have anything else to add? Because you kind of left it as like, I don't know what's on the list. So do you have anything else to add?
No. No. I don't have any suggestions for changing anything.
Cool. Craig?
Am I unmuted?
There you go. Yep, you got it.
He's muted again.
All right.
You're good. You're good now. We still can't hear you, though.
You can't hear me?
Oh, now we can.
You're coming in and out, Craig.
How about that? Now?
Yes.
Okay,
good. I don't have anything to add.
Okay. Chris.
I think it makes sense to prioritize the infrastructure projects, so our second grouping over the first in these current, in the current economic environment. And my only other comment, which really can't be responded to here under this item, but I am of course encouraging the transportation and the bike path, safety for runners, bicyclists, those types of things. Specifically focused on the bike path on the north side, but I know that's not really our purview, and that's not this item. I know we've got a transportation focused on, but transportation committee focused on that. So my comment is really I support prioritizing the infrastructure projects.
Derek. Where's Derek?
Got me.
Okay.
Got me.
Gotcha.
Yeah, just something to add to consideration is, you know, with some of the coastal access projects and some of the projects such as repaving, this might not be a good time to do it just based on the low usage. If they have low hanging fruit that right now the less people are here, that it could be an opportunity to fix some of the roads and some of the things to bump those up. Just as a consideration, but I have not taken part in any of the previous conversation. I don't have anything else to add.
Thank you. George?
I'm good with it the way it is.
Jane? Are you here, Jane? Does anybody see Jane?
Or I swear she's here.
I see Dan.
I thought I heard her, but...
I definitely heard her.
Okay.
Can you chat, possibly? All right, let's go back to Jane.
Okay.
Jenna, then?
Jenna.
I support it as it is. The one thing that I would just add is that if there is an economic recovery package that could be considered, we should give consideration to the projects that would generate the most jobs. We can put the most people back to work. But I think that these are good as is in terms of priorities for OB.
Kevin.
This is kind of tricky because these are very long things on our priority list. So it's not really that we're asking to cut something so much as delaying it, right? For example, the library would be delaying maybe the design process we recommend. And as far as public beach access, these things are not getting done in the next few months, attracting people. So I think we should push speed ahead on all those things that are, I mean, a decade overdue. As far as changes, I wouldn't change anything on our priority list. I would maybe recommend some money on some CIP. I would recommend jobs. I would pause the installation if you might not already.
Hey Kevin, you're Kevin, you're breaking up a lot.
So I would pause any unspent effort for money on the Smart program. I don't know if any of that is in OB still. And I would pause any work on the Dog Beach ramp.
On the what?
Dog Beach ADA ramp.
Okay. Nicole. Nicole. Did you want to add anything, Nicole, since we're going in order again?
I have not seen her rejoin. I told her to try calling in, but...
Okay. Newman. Newman, do you have anything? You got to unmute yourself. Unmute.
I got it.
You good? I'm good the way it is. Library and lifeguard station are kind of my... I'd like to see those things done, or at least delayed.
I think everything else, like the beach chairs for all, you know, Coronado and Bermuda, eventually those will get down. I don't think, you know, I'm too worried about that. But more of the bigger things, like I said, lifeguard and all, and everything else is going the way it is. Obviously, you know, we're going to have to adjust to delays, if you will. So that's my input.
Richard.
I like the priorities right where they are. Thank you.
I'm going to skip myself and go to Virginia.
I'm unmuting you, Virginia. Just give me 1 second. Okay, you're unmuted. I think you might need to get closer to your microphone, Virginia.
Nope, still can't hear you. It's possible she doesn't have her mic on her computer.
Virginia, do you mind just typing in? Thank you.
Okay, so I'll wait for that and then just go to me. So for me, like, our priority list is pretty thorough, and unfortunately, you know, a lot of it is going to be delayed. But the things that I think shouldn't be delayed are things like public sanitation, taking care of our bathrooms, making sure that our streets stay clean, keeping our police force, you know, and our hot team, like having our hot team funded and making sure that we have, you know, resources in our police department that can handle an uptick of potentially more people on our streets. With the current economic situation as it is, there could be a huge influx of people who no longer are housed. And I have a feeling some of those people will end up in Ocean Beach. And I think it's really important that we keep money in our budget for sanitation crew, keep money for trash pickup, keep money for police, all the other things that we have, lifeguard tower, library, all of those things, you know, they're all functional now, but they're not like, we're not going to die if it doesn't happen today. But if we have an influx of homeless people here that are transmitting, you know, Hep A or whatever, you know, then we have a problem. So I would rather have more money going to sanitation and police than actual infrastructure at this point. But that's all I have to say.
I will agree with.
Did we get Virginia on the line yet?
Yes. Well, Virginia typed hers in. Coastal access repairs, library expansion, and lifeguard station have all been unfunded needs for many years. We should keep them all at the top of our list. I haven't thought of anything to add. Thank you, Virginia.
Thank you for relaying that, because I'm recording it. So, yeah. Okay, no, and then...
Nicole, let's circle back to you.
Okay. Did she get back on?
She is back on, and she's unmuted.
I still see her little mute button. Yeah, she's still on my computer. She's still muted. So Andrea, why don't you go and then we can circle back, and if you want to read Nicole's thing, you know, so I can get it on the record, that would be helpful.
Yeah, sure.
comment in the chat box.
I think that's Nicole.
Nicole Burgess. There's two different. Nicole Burgess, is that a comment for this budget item, or is that a comment for Safe Streets? Type that in the box. The only number one thing on my list is the Ocean Beach lifeguard station funding and an additional and keeping our walking team in OB. We've had, very high presence of police officers currently, because we do have a lot of open space, a lot of parks, a lot of shorelines that people have been walking away from. And I just want to make sure that once, this is all over and there's not enough, but there's not as much of a need for that, we don't suddenly get all the resources pulled to other neighborhoods that maybe have not had as much police presence currently. I would be in favor of moving the infrastructure up to number one, and letting coastal access get delayed a little bit longer in favor of getting a lifeguard station built with the police outpost in it, and all the other amenities that we've been wanting for a while.
Okay, so the only person we haven't been able to hear from is Nicole Wayno. I don't know if she's able yet.
She's still figuring out. I think I have some public comments. So, okay. So I'll start with Nicole Burgess. Nicole recommends for the board to support Complete Streets and creation of Mobility Department, which the mayor requested in his budget update. So SB1 funds are used to better improve bike and pedestrian safety. Hi, Nicole, I see you now. That would be supportive of our third budget priority. And then I do believe I also had a comment from Dan Dennison on the budget. Even though the lifeguard station and library expansion will likely be delayed to the economic crisis, I think both of them should continue to be priorities. Maybe remember that the library expansion was approved, designed, and funded before the last crash. So we do have those plans. We have a replication to go from and a starting point. Okay. Do I have any other public comments on the budget priorities?
Can I make another comment?
Sure, Kevin.
You mentioned beach access versus other things. The issue I have is the lifeguard tower and library are earlier in the process, and I feel like if we don't advocate for the beach access, they're going to cut the Bermuda effort and might go back to square one. That one is already halfway spent. I'd hate for them to stop on that at least. The rest of it certainly can wait. So maybe we can differentiate.
The stair projects I have are the Bermuda Avenue stairs, the Orchard Avenue Capri by the Sea, and Old Salt Pool are still in construction. Santa Cruz stairs and walkway. We have the Silver Spray Alley coastal access stairs, and then the Tide Pool by the Old Salt Water Pool are all stairs that we have listed as things that need to be completed. Bermuda has the second largest price tag to it. To finish Bermuda, it's going to be about 1.1. To finish Santa Cruz, it's going to be about 3.7 million. And the Orchard Avenue and Capri by the Sea just need $100,000 left. So to Kevin's point, if we're looking at this from just a purely fiscal standpoint, it would be smarter to just go through with the finish
Alexa,
the Orchard,
turn on TV light.
Bermuda next, and then all other stair access would be after that.
Orchard is based on that one. Orchard is completed.
We did recently write this budget letter in November, and it was under construction. construction, so that's been completed entirely.
Well, it's tricky because it's combined with the Orchard Capri, also includes Salt Pool. And so the only outstanding thing on that is the Salt Pool, which they have to completely redesign. That might be further out. It's not going to be $100,000. It's going to be, that'll probably be $500,000. That one is preventing access from the pier to everything south of there. Which right now, so what? But 6 months from now, it's just going to be a continued problem. So, I mean, really the Bermuda and the Salt Pool are really the critical ones, but Bermuda is further along in the process, I believe. And the rest of them are not there.
Yeah, the rest, so yeah, Bermuda, because we have seen the Bermuda stairs. I did just recently get an assessment letter for them, so they are still working on them. So Kevin is right. We saw the presentation, the designs. We all agreed they still needed work, but they are still moving forward with the designing. So that's currently funded. I think the design stage is currently completely funded. Nicole?
I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yay.
Okay. Okay. Sorry, I had to update my device, apparently. I agree with what Virginia said about the budget question. I'm not sure what else I missed after that, but those are both really important priorities, both with the coastal access, which, is why we love our community so much, right? And with the public safety access of the lifeguard station, I think those would be at the top two priority levels on my list.
Awesome. All right. So does anyone have a motion then based on discussion? I don't see any more community comments. Old board members have now commented. Does anyone feel like they could make a motion based on everything? Kind of consolidate what we all said into it.
It looks like there's a couple of people who may have had some other comments, though. Let's see. Derek said he wanted to add a comment.
Yeah, if you got me there.
Got you, Derek.
Just to kind of dovetail on what Tracy was talking about, though, if we get influx of homeless people, like the Silver Spray scares, for example, that's like a little cave camp under there, so... Some of those projects, not necessarily just for coastal access, but for safety, might be considered, sandbagging them off or somehow otherwise blocking off some of the hidey holes. That's all I had to add there.
Okay. Thank you, Derek. Okay. So I'm going to call for a motion again because I have about 4 more minutes slated for this item, and then we got to talk about parks.
This is Anthony. I think we... I'd like to propose we move to recommend the proposed budget prioritization as it's been provided to us by the city, and let's move forward without any more of these things. Sounds like that's the consensus. I could be wrong, though.
So no keeping prioritization of the Bermuda stairs, just prioritizing library.
Well, actually, I thought that with the Bermuda stairs should have been prioritized. I apologize for the confusion.
No.
Because I feel that coastal access is, we already have a library and a lifeguard station that's intact, just needs to be updated, but coastal access definitely needs to be there as a constitutional mandate. I'm a little torn, though, but I thought that the Bermuda Stairs was prioritized one already. Am I incorrect?
The Bermuda Stairs plans are not ready, and construction is not fully funded.
Okay.
Only the design is funded right now.
Then let me revise, if I could take back what my original motion was.
Yes.
And move that we prioritize the Bermuda Stairs first as a coastal access prioritization, and then after that, the infrastructure is presented by the city, but basically move slot that Bermuda Stair access first, because it's unique to OB, and it's important for us to have the coastal access.
Okay. Can you write that down in the chat box?
I will try.
Thank you. All right, so to recap, Anthony is keeping our priorities letter. It would be as is with Bermuda accesses and only stair access still listed in our number one priority, followed with the lifeguard station and the lifeguard station in the library, finishing up with pedestrian and public safety.
I had a question.
Yes.
So the letter doesn't have one year's budget, or 2 years budget item. So I'm not sure how we revise this. Add a commentary on each of these, something at the beginning, just highlight parts of the letter and leave the rest of it there. Does that make sense?
Anthony moves to keep the prioritization as is, but amending to put the Bermuda stairs to the top of the list.
I think I understand you, Kevin. So you want to make it like a PDF with markups or annotations on it?
Maybe, or maybe just a paragraph at the beginning. Select things out of here. It says these are our number one, these are our top priorities. The rest of this, you know, we understand money's tight. Wait, something to that effect. Does that make sense? These don't really rank everything. Rank category.
All right. So then, are you supportive of? Are you trying to make a friendly amendment to Anthony's motion?
Well, I guess I'm trying to make a whole new motion.
Let's get Anthony's motion up here and then see if we get a second, although it looks like Nicole seconded, so I do have to call the question. But we can take an additional, it doesn't sound like those motions are, you know, against each other. I think we can take an additional action to include that. Does that make sense?
I'm happy to allow Kevin to wordsmith my motion to see if that meets the goals for the group here.
I'm typing right now.
Thank you.
I didn't add any content to it because I don't know if there's a question on that, but this is what I'm.
I move to just add a paragraph at the beginning that highlights our most critical priorities from the list.
And so I believe that
the motion would then read, I move to keep the prioritization as is, with the Bermuda stairs are at the top of our coastal access list. And we could, by adding a paragraph at the beginning of our letter that highlights our most critical priorities. That sound Frankenstein-y enough?
Yes, but then the question is, what are those specific, you know, let's say 4 or 5 things out of this whole letter that you would want to focus on?
Okay. Can we bullet these then? Will you type while I bullet? I think the top 5 things we're obviously going to vote on this would be, sounds like Bermuda stairs, lifeguard station, library, and maintaining, and then under pedestrian bike safety, that would be maintenance, I would say, of our streets and public spaces, it sounds like, and then maintaining our walking team in Ocean Beach. With those.
What was the second to last one?
Maintaining public spaces.
Okay.
Public right-of-ways and jig or take off or... put up forward? If not... Tracy, I'm going to have you read roll again, and then we're just going to say yay, nay, or abstain.
Anthony.
Yay.
Andrea.
Yay.
Andrew. Andrew. I can't hear you. Craig.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up, yeah. Craig. Thumbs up. Chris.
Yes.
Derek.
I think I should abstain. I haven't been on the board long enough to discuss these in greater depth, so I think it's better for me to abstain from this one.
Okay. George.
Hey.
Jane. Still no Jane. Okay. Jenna.
Yay.
Kevin.
Yay.
Nicole.
Yay.
Newman.
Yay.
Richard.
I'm in a scene here. I'm not sure what I'm voting yes or no on.
It's in the comments.
I'm looking at the comments. Infrastructure, lifeguard, pedestrian, bike, maintain public space, right of ways, maintain
yes.
SDPD beach team. That's a long list.
Those are your top five priorities.
Is this any change from what we had before?
It's a severe cutting down of what they were before. It's an editing.
Richard, so what we discussed is this is really just highlighting these specific portions of our proposal.
Well, I'm good on the lifeguard and the library and the coastal access. So, go ahead, give me a yay.
Okay, thank you, Richard.
I'll vote yay, and then Virginia.
I think that was a yay. Yay, yeah.
Yay, okay.
All right, awesome.
Motion passes. Except we still haven't heard from Jane yet. Is Jane?
I know.
Okay. All right. Maybe she gave up. All right.
I hope not. I'll call her after this and figure out what happened.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on to parks. The parks master plan. Let's see. My screen share isn't working. My screen share isn't working. I made a meeting for this, but because my screen share isn't working, I set up a secondary screen. So maybe I can get you guys to see it that way. Ugh. Parks Master Plan. This is. We may have talked about this before, maybe over a year ago. We may have talked about this over a year ago, but the comments on the Parks Draft Master Plan are due on the 26th. It's useless anyways. I'll send this up to everyone. So the comments are due on the 26th. So what is the Parks Master Plan? The Parks Master Plan is it's taking into account of all the park space we currently have. There are a lot of neighborhoods that are underparked, and the main goal of San Diego is to have an interconnected park system where nobody lives more than a 10-minute walk, a 15-minute bike ride, or a 30-minute commute by public transportation to their closest park. In OB, we have shoreline parks. We have off-leash dog parks and beaches. We have two recreation centers, We have a few resource-based parks, we have some open space parks, and we of course have our skate park. So those are all operated under Parks and Rec. So throughout this whole, before this draft document came the city spent time on workshops. They had an online priorities survey for all San Diego residents. They talked to stakeholders and gathered a lot of priorities from them. And the top priorities of residents of San Diego's are our beaches and shoreline parks, small pocket parks or neighborhood parks, open space and trails, off-leash dog parks, and aquatic complexes. And the top priorities then that people want to see these parks utilized for is for fitness and wellness programs, senior adult programs, ranger-led hikes, nature programs, seasonal special parks events, and adult sports programs. So we're in a good spot. You know, if the city's prioritizing their number one thing for beaches and shorelines and making that more enjoyable, then lucky for us, we can probably fight for some more stuff, like a lot. So the main thing they're going to be evaluating on these parks on is it's a recreation point value. So if we remember back to when we were talking about transit priority areas and how they were assigning point values based on the transportation amenities that were provided by developments, this is the same type of system. And the city is looking for development of parks that hit a certain threshold of points. So they don't want any parks under 12 points. Every amenity and every recreation has a different set of value, and depending on the development, you get that set of value. And I really would recommend going through this if you haven't already, and looking at the appendixes. They have a lot of changed. They have a lot of good examples of parks that are already in existence with these extra recreation. Recreational points or kind of built into them, and kind of a future time looking. So it gives you a lot of ideas about what we can do with the parks. Okay. So what are we talking about with parks today, or what does the city want from us? So the city wants to know where we want to add more amenities and what parks we're focused on. They want to know how we would add amenities that encourage recreation activities, and getting people outside walking to their parks and moving more. And any other recreation opportunities that they have. So that's what the city wants. Does that make sense, everyone? Andrew. Alright, so we're going to go around the same thing we did. Again, the focus of this conversation should be what amenities within the city's priority list can we focus on? I'll submit comments to City Council's office. I'll submit comments directly to the City Parks Director. If you so decide, or city, and then I will also provide the link for everyone to comment individually and fill out. Oh, excuse me, the Parks and Rec survey as well.
Okay, do we want to start?
We want to start. Go ahead,
Anthony. Go ahead.
I'm so lucky. I'm number one. I would like to don't. And also children, but mostly, children are very well staffed at the parks. I'd like to see more adult fitness infrastructure in place in parks, things that can take the place of going to a gym, for example. you know, stretching out areas, bars and other things where one can go and really do some heavy-duty exercising in the park as opposed to just walking or basketball courts, which are great, but they're really expensive. But I would like to see some more fitness infrastructure put into place.
Like they have along Mission Bay.
Exactly, yeah.
In front of the Hilton. Yeah, okay, cool. Yep. Thank you, Anthony.
It's called a Swedish gym. Okay, Andrew. Can't hear you, Andrew. Can anybody hear Andrew?
No, I can't.
Nope.
Was that just Jane?
That was Jane. Andrew, do you want to type your comments and we'll come back to you?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. I got my technology. I think I'll try to be too brief. I think there are two points I'd probably want to make sure are prioritized. One is any park space can accommodate arts, culture, or forms of expression, which I don't know if I've heard that abundantly prioritized. So whether it's space for public art, infrastructure for art to be added, or arts and culture programming to be facilitated, so lights, power, outlets, that kind of stuff, whatever can help facilitate artistic programs. And then I'm going off of memory, not a year or two there now, but I think at one point the city said there were three different things they could do with parks. One was improve current parks, one was reclaim parks, reclaim space to become parks, and I think that was the third thing. I can't remember what that was at the moment. But I would encourage the city to also prioritize claiming open space, which I know is a huge capital expense, but let's say space around a cliff opens up, maybe, you know, that cannot go to a developer, but that could be reclaimed as public space. If a corner plot, you know, goes up for sale, maybe that could be reclaimed as, you know, adding to public park space versus being underparked in our census track.
Oh, thank you. So you would like the city to look into buying back privately owned lands that's adjacent to current park spaces. Awesome. Okay.
Interesting. Craig. Mr. Klein.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
I think the only real concern I have is just ongoing maintenance of the parks we have. You know, particularly Beachfront Park by the between the pier and the lifeguard station where the grass is completely destroyed. I don't see the acquisition of it's a nice pipe dream, but given the budget realities, I think the most realistic thing that we have to shoot for is just proper maintenance of our existing parks.
I know. I wonder if they're coming out with
realistic, I guess. Yes.
It is, but it's also realistic. Thank you, Craig.
Chris.
I actually think Andrew and Anthony very eloquently stated the three or four priorities I would have too. I think there's some simple recommendations we could include that would be, you know, power and space for arts programming, as Andrew mentioned, and then the workout stations. Like Anthony mentioned, simple pull-up bars and stations like that I think are no-brainers and low investment. And the only other thing I would add is sufficient lighting. I look around and I don't see enough lighting in a lot of our open spaces, so I would push for
that. Derek.
So,
You know, I'm always impressed by the parks out here and the job that the Parks Department does. You know, use my example as the Dusty Road Small Dog Park. You know, they close it every Wednesday morning, and they keep expanding people bags. You go around OB, and you go to the bathrooms, you know, by the lifeguard towers and other places. There's public restrooms that are open, and they're relatively clean. Good luck finding that in Chicago. No, good luck finding that in Detroit. I'm just saying, you don't find those anemones, right? I was amazed that the sinks on the pier are still working. I come from places that, you know, the infrastructure has crumbled to the point that those things are gone. So I think maintaining those things are important. And also, you know, with an eye towards some of the transient population who tends to congregate, again, with the Dusty Roads area. And then between that dog park and the Sunset Cliffs, where it goes into 8, you got an overgrown area that's now a homeless camp, you know, and you got guys going in and out of there. I don't know who's responsibility that little strip falls under. You know, is it transportation because it's a potential where they might expand the road to someday? Does that fall under parks? I don't know. So just focusing on maintaining good job that I think they already do, you know, reasonably. And also looking at some of those other areas that are now turning into people living in the trees. See about maybe making those again a little less attractive to the homeless.
Cool. George.
I don't have anything to add.
Jane.
Well, I agree with Craig about maintaining the parks that we do have, and I also agree that we need more of the exercise equipment for adults.
Jenna.
Yeah, I definitely agree that continued maintenance of our parks needs to be a priority so that we can make use of what we already have. I would also really emphasize that keeping an eye towards equitable access to parks is key for San Diego as a whole, and we, you know, we should support that. And just looking at the equity index in the draft parks plan, most of South San Diego really has very inequitable access to parks. I would be supportive of the city investing in more parks in those areas. I also think that it's important to consider like transportation to parks and within parks. And I think so for part of that is thinking about how to build out a network so that more people can access parks more easily. And then I would also say that like transportation within parks, particularly bike paths and running and walking paths, should be invested in our bike path. San Diego River and Rob Field is in dire need of some updates so that we can run along that pathway without tripping and falling. Those are my comments.
Jenna. The river path is being completed currently as we speak. We just got a new portion of that.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Kevin.
So I just want to agree, especially on, you know, maintain what you have. Lighting is great in the winter time. An extra park, you can use it twice as long. The one thing I wanted to add, Derek mentioned homeless parks. Reclaim the parks for park use. If they are campground, people don't go there. They won't bring their kids there. The gazebo is a campground. So the way we can, we need more enforcement of these areas. Want to use. What's the point of building parks if people are going to use them? They're afraid to use them. The other thing I wanted to add was the encroachment maintenance removal agreements on the coastline. The city tends to just give these away to people. This is allows private property owners to build in land adjacent to their property. The Ocean Beach villas on the coast does this, and some of the other coastal properties do this, and it effectively takes away public space from the people. I would encourage restoring the faith on the removal agreement and the other things I mentioned.
Thank you.
Nicole. Still can't hear you again. I think everybody's headphone mics are acting squirrely.
And then, of course, there's a bunch of comments in the chat, which I'm sure will.
Yeah. Nicole? Yeah, I'm going to get to all the public comments once we're done.
If you're having trouble speaking, try unplugging your headphones, if that makes a difference. Maybe they're still plugged in and the mic's not working well.
Okay, we can... Hello? Did it work yet? No, still not working. Okay, Newman.
I agree with a little bit of Kevin's, a little bit of Anthony's, and a little bit of Dennis. So we can maybe smoosh those three comments together. I kind of feel like that's how I feel. The parks need to be updated, what they already are. We're obviously all going to be using parks more than that before, so it'd be nice to have some nice equipment. As far as Kevin's comments about the homeless and all that stuff, I agree with that as well. So I like Jenna, I like Anthony, and I like Kevin's comments. That's about how I feel on the subject.
So. Thank you, Newman.
Richard.
Thank you very much. I'm looking at Mr. Dennis's comments up here. This is what I've been wanting to say the whole time, is that the Mission Bay Rec District has controls over capital improvements, and they're not really connected at all with Ocean Beach. So I've heard for the last 2 years that we could get lots of improvements down at Ralph Field, but we don't get them because Mission Bay controls those funds. I've been a member of the gym there, and that equipment could be vastly improved, but it doesn't happen because we don't have any control over that, any of that. So that's where I stand in improvements to the parks. We don't have control over the money that comes into it already. So, yeah, we want improvements, but how are you going to get those? You need to get control of the money. So that's my comment.
Thank you.
Virginia.
I think Virginia wrote her comment because we were having trouble, so I will read it.
Read it, please.
Okay, I agree with Anthony on exercise stations. They provide high value per cost. The parks and schools' joint use programs are working out well. We might pursue that. Also, it would be important to strategically plant trees. Ah! Comment, it drags away from it. Okay.
Yeah, why people are typing.
It'll be important to strategically plant trees for shade within parks. Consider adding. No, that's Dan. Wait, no. No, Virginia wants to add agility obstacles to the off-leash dog park. All right. Is that all, Virginia? You got it. All right.
Was that it?
Yes. That was it for Virginia.
Did Nicole get back on? Checking with Nicole. Anybody see any typing from Nicole?
She's texting. All right, so let's go. Let's keep going.
Okay, so for me, I agree. I think it would be nice to incorporate like a Swedish gym and at least in one of our parks. I also absolutely think that we need more shade in some of our parks. Trees are, yeah, you guys know how I feel about trees. I think that we need to add more damn trees. More shade trees would be nice, but strategically place them so that they don't interrupt with other activities that may be happening at the park. And then I don't want to ask for a lot of stuff at this point or make suggestions, because obviously we're going to have a budget shortfall and parks is going to be something that they're like, well, you know, we don't have the money to upgrade. So, I mean, I think like a simple Swedish gym system in one of our more open parks would be great. I think, you know, maybe partnering with some organizations that can help us plant some trees would be really great, if we could get permission somehow to work with an outside organization and maybe get donations for trees. But those are my two main things. I mean, I'd like to see more public art going on in some of these locations as well. But that's it for me.
Yeah. Well, public art is actually one of the big getters for that number system or the scoring system. It's worth a lot of points, depending on the art installation. So public art is definitely prioritized in the budget. For me, I think the hardest part about accessing our beach and shoreline parks is parking. I don't know how big public transportation is, but it always is on my mind about how can people take public transportation to the beach? How can we get them to do that? And I think if there were more public-private partnerships that provided free or very low cost rentals of beach equipment, surfboards, boogie boards, flippers, gear that you would use, and in the bay, maybe paddle boards or kayaks, then more people would be taking public transportation to the beaches. So I like Tracy said, we're not going to be getting a lot of money for things. So I think the biggest emphasis and the biggest focus for the Parks Department should be finding more public-private partnerships to fund additional needs. And exercises. Since, I don't know, my gym hasn't been open for 2 months, so I would like some exercise equipment. And that seems to be echoed going through the public comments. Everyone seems to be pro exercising equipment and getting us out there. There is concern about connectivity of our parks by bike, so people from the peninsula can still access the parks by bike, and then making sure it also connects upstream to the PB and the Mission Bay and beach bike trails as well. I know I saw something.
Andrew had a great comment about COVID and tactile things that I would like to hear.
This is the smallest chat box. Okay. So, Andrew, adding to arts plus culture amenities and acquiring new space, I wanted to suggest adding COVID-19 conscious improvements like touch-free fixtures and wider walkways. And then Nicole Uno, thank you. She also wants to have playgrounds on the list.
What does that mean, inclusive playgrounds?
To help children, I'm sure, who are
stable
with disabilities, you know, whether it be mobility issues, deaf, blind.
Okay.
Tracy, I think that means you can go play on the swing set without getting arrested.
All right. Yeah, inclusivity.
We have some comments from both Mandy and Nicole Burgess advocating for the open space in Formosa to stay open. And Kevin wants us all to remember that the Parks Master Plan is a long-term plan that will live well beyond the temporary budget deficit. So you don't just have to focus on short-term goals, although they are great. We can also add in some more bigger and larger goals. Does anyone else, and then Virginia, if brings up the point about attending as the Mission Bay Park liaison. Their meeting was yesterday. It was canceled, and I do think they have an open seat on their board for District 2. If anyone isn't on enough boards, you're not sitting on enough things, we can certainly pursue someone getting on that board as well.
that be anyone, including people not on the OB planning board?
Anyone who, they're District 2 seats, so yes, anyone who lives in District 2 and wants to sit on that board can apply to be on that board.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Okay, so do I have any more public comments? Did I get everyone? I think Dan had one, but we kind of went through it, but I can go about his point that we don't have any of the money. Was there anything else that you wanted to add, Dan?
Where is Dan?
I don't know. Did he leave? Did he make his comment and leave?
No, he's still here. He's still here. I see him. But,
All right. And Derek, there is a comprehensive list of all the parks in the appendices of the parks master plans.
Okay, I was looking at the bottom. I saw, like, Carmel Valley, Navajo. I couldn't find OB, but I'll keep looking.
They have a whole map.
Okay.
So, all right. And they've shaded in the parts based on what different types of uses there are.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in the appendices.
So my thoughts there were just if we had a list, you know, if we're saying, well, you know, Rob Field falls outside of our purview, if we did at some point in the future say, let's look at all the parks that are in OB, and then we can start really, say, you know, when that time comes.
That would
take more logical approach to it.
Yeah, I know. I think this is honestly a lot to get through, and I would smile upon them. I would look favorably upon a motion where we do get our comments out there, but also possibly creating an ad hoc committee or a subcommittee to kind of dig into our parks and come up with just a few thought out plans, specifically how we can improve those, and then maybe submit those to our city council and the parks department.
Andrea, I have a question. I bring this up on a regular basis because it just irks me to no end that we don't have control over two of the largest parks in our neighborhood. And I don't know how we can get that control back. I mean, does anybody have any suggestions on how we can get that money back from Mission Bay? Because, I mean, I don't know. Andrew?
We had chatted about that, I think, maybe in the last year, and I remember about 3 or so, maybe even 4 years ago, when that had come up for the substantive life. Before my time on the board, under Council Member Byron Ware, they made that transition. And I remember Conrad being really eloquent about about describing how and why that happened. But my back envelope or off the cuff remembrance was that they did that because more money was able to be allocated to the OB community, that if it was straight parks would not have been even available. So by doing this, it was out of our control, but there could be more money dedicated to that. Now, I think Andrea mentioned, there's nobody serving on our behalf on that board and in that community regularly, so we might be getting shortchanged, but maybe so like a well-placed or strategic call with Byron to fully understand that situation could be helpful for us to strategize how to, you know, dial in how to move forward.
Thank you.
Nicole Uno, I do think Gio's on the board, but I think there's still an open seat. So it's never a bad thing to stack the board in our favor. And I think that is the point of having Rob Fields and Dusty Rhodes with Mission Bay, because it is just, they generate money on their own outside of the general funds that they're then allowed to specifically put to parks projects. Our advocate for anything we want is to, yeah, get someone on that board and just continue to go to all of their meetings.
Andrea, I have a question.
Yes.
You said District 2. Is that the citywide District 2 or Ocean Beach District 2?
Citywide District 2.
Which is all of Ocean Beach?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. So look into it. You can go to their page. But in the meantime, we have run 18 minutes over this. So does anyone have a motion?
I would make a motion to form an ad hoc committee to discuss these items further and dig in a little deeper. I think that the conversation that we're having now is really great and we all have amazing ideas, but the plan itself was really good. So I think throwing things at them right now would be kind of excessive. So I think if we form a committee, I think that we can really dig in a little bit later. And when they have more budget options later. So I would make a motion to form an ad hoc committee for Parks and Recreation.
Derek, second it. Is that correct? Yes. So roll call vote then, Tracy.
Ad hoc committee for Parks.
And right. I think Nicole said she wanted to be on it. Anyone else who want to be on it? So we can just appoint everyone, and I don't have to make this other item, and then maybe. Yeah. All right. So we got.
Nicole wants to be a member.
Nicole, we got Mandy, we got Derek. I do.
Who?
Me, Andrea. Yeah, so we got Mandy, Derek, Nicole.
Anthony held up his hand also.
Anthony?
Sure, why not?
I think there should be a tree advocate on there. So, Virginia, do you want to do it or do you want me to do it?
All right. Oh, and to Kevin's point, the link I just posted directly takes you to the survey to comment on the Parks Next Year plan.
You know what?
Since we're not going to make an official statement, please everyone go and give your survey responses to the link I just posted right now.
So I'll volunteer to be on it just because I can advocate for public art and trees.
Okay.
So I'll do it. Okay. And then we'll just have to figure out a time.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can do that offline. Okay.
Okay.
So read those names back so we can make sure we're not missing anyone, and then we'll approve it and then move on to Slow Street.
Okay. So the motion is to create an ad hoc committee for Parks and Recreation. The members as of today are Nicole, Mandy, Derek, Andrea, Anthony, and Tracy.
Awesome. Anyone left out?
I'll join if you'll have me.
All right.
Yes, sir. Okay.
All right, call the roll.
Anthony.
Oh, yeah. Nicole, do you want to be a community member? Yes. Oh, wait, Mandy. Who are you?
Wait.
Before we call the roll, Nicole just asked. Nicole Burgess asked.
Nicole Burgess.
All right. Add Nicole Burgess. All right.
Okay. Cool. All right.
You think we can get Geo on there somehow? I mean,
maybe,
really
yeah. Come to meet with us. Yeah. The good thing about the ad hoc committee is you don't have to notice. It's not as compliant to the Brown Act, and we can disband it when we're done. Thank you so much for the Brown Act. Okay, we're far behind. Tracy's with the roll, so we can move on to Slow Streets.
Anthony.
Approved. Agreed.
Andrea.
Yay.
Andrew.
Approved.
Craig. Thumbs up. Chris.
Yes.
Derek.
Yay.
George.
Yay.
Jane.
Yay.
Jenna.
Yay.
Kevin.
Yay.
Nicole. I
said yes.
Okay. Newman.
Hey.
Richard. Richard.
Approve.
Thank you. Tracy approves. Virginia. Thumbs up. Okay. Unanimous. You. All right.
All right. Slow Streets. I'm super bummed. Okay. So Slow Streets Initiative. So, I want to talk about this for a little bit. And I'm actually just asking Nicole for this, if you don't mind talking about it a little bit, because it was something put together by Circulate SD. But I'm being kind of so Safe Streets, what is it? Councilmember Campbell released a memo on April 27th. "I respectfully request that you direct the appropriate department to explore expanding pedestrian and bike access and implement enhanced safety measures on high pedestrian city streets. These measures might include reducing speed limits, expanding walking areas beyond sidewalks, allow for a safe 6-foot distance, and altering pedestrian traffic signs to be automatic without the need to push a beg button." In her memo, she proposed, but nothing was finalized, that Bacon Street should be considered for such an initiative. Now, let's go to the background on why she probably chose Bacon Street. We currently have two sharrows or sorts of bike paths in Ocean Beach. One of them is going down Ebers, and as we all know, Bacon Street has been a proposed bicycle boulevard for a while now. It has sharrows, yeah. So Ebers and Bacon both have sharrows, and Bacon is their proposed bicycle boulevard. So that's probably where that recommendation came from. So far, only the OBMA has weighed in on such, and they do not think Bacon Street is viable, as delivery trucks use it predominantly for their deliveries to to the businesses in our big district, our business improvement district. OBMA is supportive if it's going to come into the bid of Abbott Street being a safe street initiative. I was hoping to come up with maybe one or two options that we could then take to OB Town Council and discuss further. So in the community plan, there is a map of our average traffic volumes from a traffic study admittedly done a while ago. This traffic was in 2008, but looking at it for average trips a day, the busiest section of Ebers has 8,400 average trips per day. These are all probably, I don't know. Sunset Cliffs has 25,500 average trips per day. Cable has 8,800 trips per day and is not eligible to be a safe street or a slow street initiative because it is the bus route. Bacon has 7,500 average trips per day. And Abbott has 5,800 average trips a day for the largest stretch of it. The one section right at the end between Newport and Santa Monica has about 9,500 average car trips per day.
Holy crap.
These are obviously still pre-COVID numbers, but just based on the most recent traffic study we've had done of our whole neighborhood, it seems like Ebers and Abbott are the least used streets for cars. That wouldn't interfere with any of the business districts going on.
Fabulous job explaining it, and I ran on it. It was basically an initiative rolled out, you know, as other cities, over 100 cities in the U.S. have actually been implementing slow streets, as we're finding it's really crowded on our sidewalks and our streets to actively move and to make our essential trips, so we have stay-at-home orders. It was actually piloted a little bit off of the Oak Cliff Slow Street, so that it has about 70-plus miles that they're trying to do. And this is, let's just clarify, this is actually closing to through traffic. Sorry about my dogs. Closing to through traffic and allowing residents to still be there. So parking is not an issue. You are still able to park on these streets as residents. You actually will find that you probably will have a little more open space because people are not cutting through the neighborhood to park there. I'm going to put you on mute. If you have any questions, I'm going to just try to quiet these dogs up.
I have questions, Nicole. Ready? Okay, you're still on mute though. So they say that this is going to be, these are streets that are going to be closed to traffic, right? But yet parking is still going to be allowed. So how are the cars actually going to get on the streets if parking, or if it's closed to traffic?
So it's closed to through traffic. So on Bacon, it would just have a sign. It's kind of a, it's actually, you can see them in a couple of different spots in San Diego. They did Diamond Boulevard, Diamond Street over in PB, and it's been very, very successful. So you can look on Slow Streets. They actually, City of San Diego has a website now, a Slow Streets website. And so there's plenty of access points to these streets, and so residents still have access, and as a resident, you still can go through that space. They want you to travel much slower. You're a resident, so it's really resident enforced. There's no police enforcement. It's really a community effort to slow traffic. In PB, Diamond has seen a 400% increase in ridership and active commuters. So I think as we talk about businesses on Bacon, I want to make sure that we're sensitive to their needs, but I also think there's opportunity for, if you look at some of the conversations that are expanding, it's business prosperity. So putting up some of these restaurants on Bacon, you know, allowing more street space, more sidewalk space, and expanding into the, you know, into the open space is actually opportunity for these businesses to actually reopen with more space.
Okay.
Parking is not taken away.
Okay, and I have two just follow-ups. I get the impression that this is a temporary, let's see how it goes, and then we might make it permanent idea. I want to know if this is something that is going to be, if it works out, if it'll turn permanent, or is this just a COVID-related fix to get more people access to wider streets?
Number one, it's the COVID response to get more space. Two, is there opportunity at the end to keep them, you know, to fast-pace some projects? That's to be evaluated. In Oakland, they are definitely reevaluating the streets. They're moving the pylons. The barriers, they're temporary barriers. They just can be put up in a day. They can be taken down immediately. But they're not, there's nothing, I think it's a matter of evaluation and where this process goes.
Okay. And thirdly, I've actually seen a couple of comments just that agree with me, but I totally respect OBMA and I respect what they're trying to do and I understand what they're trying to do, but Bacon is awful. And if there is some way that we can slow it down on Bacon, I would 100% support that. And I honestly think if the buses are going down cable, so can the trucks. You know, it's like, why can't we have cable as being the main access, because it's stoplighted, it's got more stops. As far as just an opinion goes, I think that they're protecting Bacon, and I don't think that they need to as strongly as they are. So that's just a personal opinion, and I'm going to shut up from here on out. Thank you.
Thank you. I think the thinking is delivery trucks can't get around the buses while they're stopped, so it's inconvenient. Their delivery routes.
Well, neither can anybody else.
And they come around. Oh, yeah, that's why I don't drive down cable.
8.
All right. Let's
quick on that note, just real quick, Andrea. You know, Jen Campbell did actually support Bacon, and it was actually going to be one of the first rolled out phases. So it was a little disappointing to see LBMA not support this, because I actually think it could be beneficial for their businesses and need to adapt. But I also wanted to just highlight as well, I found out today that one of her other requests, and this affects Ocean Beach, is that she asked for automated PET signals, recall signals.
Yes.
And there are a few in Ocean Beach on Sunset Cliffs Boulevard that are now automatic recalls. So you'll find that you don't have to push those buttons in OB. So I just wanted to give that update.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Great. Yeah. I hope that comes about for everything. Okay. Getting back to slow streets. Okay. So let's start with the roll call. So, Anthony, you're up.
Yes, I agree with the Bacon Street, and particularly probably from Voltaire all the way down to at least just past Newport up to Niagara might be appropriate. I did an informal sample size survey of one. I spoke to one of our business owners on Bacon right there. I'll just tell you, it was the owner of the OB Kebab, and he was enthusiastically for it. Which last year when I spoke to him about it, he wasn't, but now he is, and he said he would be very much in favor of such a project if it retained at least the loading area in front of his business in Winston's, you know, for loading supplies. But other than that, he seemed like it was a good idea, especially with the idea that increased separation for people and pedestrians to walk safely during the new normal. So I'm behind this initiative if it's implemented correctly.
Thank you, Anthony. Andrew?
Cool. So yeah, I as well. I'm also generally very favorable toward implementing any temporary plans. I think ultimately there are probably a couple good ideas in here that could be implemented permanently, but I think both processes, you know, both for exploratory or whatever, is are both super valid and well worth trying. I don't know if this, not to add too much to the conversation, but I think I personally have noticed some of the worst offenders of what I'd say is maybe speeding or just thoughtless driving is definitely can come from neighbors. Not that any of my adjacent neighbors, if you're watching. I think this is certainly worth slowing the streets and worth it for our quality of life from an a tourist perspective, but also to help, you know, control local traffic as well.
Thank you, Andrew. Chris?
I guess I have a question. So on the agenda, it says we're going to put together a list of possible routes for this Slow Street Initiative. And so I've seen a lot of suggestions in the chat, and I'm just trying to get some clarity around what we're actually proposing here. Is it just Bacon between Voltaire and Santa Monica? Is that what we're talking about, or is it expanding?
No, this is any street that you think would be a slow street. So the council member was the one who initially recommended Bacon, but she wants community input. So, OB Town Council will also be holding a forum. So I thought it would be good for us to take a little pulse. We are the planning, you know, we know a little bit more about where our bike boulevards are and traffic trips, to just put together a couple of options that we can further discuss at Town Council tomorrow, if there's kind of a lot of consensus around one road and you feel comfortable making a motion to just suggest one road for the OB Town Council tomorrow and a council member, then we can do that as well.
Okay, thank you. Yep. I don't have a lot of comments. I mean, my main thoroughfares in District 3 is Froude over to Santa Monica and down in Owen and Port, so I'm not experiencing a whole lot of congestion in the paths that I'm traveling from east side down, but I do like like Andrew's idea, and I follow a similar philosophy. If we're going to do something, I think it's important to take small steps towards that and sort of a pilot idea before we chunk off, a lot more than we might want to be chomping on right now. So that would be my comment.
Chris.
Craig.
Hey. Unmute yourself. Can you hear me? Okay, I know the OBMA has been deathly opposed to anything that messes with Aiken as it approaches Newport because of the truck issue. I guess I could be in support of this as a temporary measure because, unfortunately, I don't see a lot of the businesses on Newport opening anytime soon. And I'm not even certain about the future of the OBMA. I think it's too early to actually commit to anything that would be beyond temporary. I've had long discussions with Danny about delivery trucks and why it's impracticable. For the delivery trucks servicing the businesses on Newport not to be able to use the street as their primary access. I don't want to say anything or suggest anything that would change the OBMA right now when they're even, when they're already pretty much beat up and down. So I could only support something like this if the language included a sunset, a very clear sunset to the experiment.
I'm suggesting it gets reevaluated in the final stages of reopening. Do we have a 5-stage approach?
Right. To be reevaluated at stage 4 of the reopening.
Derek.
I think the Slow Streets initiative as a whole, it's a good initiative. I can see what they're trying to do. I mean, we're kind of doing it right now everywhere. But, living here in District 1 and looking at the numbers, I mean, we're already looking at the summertime numbers, 22,800 coming down Sunset Cliffs, where it means 18,500 coming in. If we close off those streets to the people, it doesn't mean they're not going to come. It just means they're going to have to park and drive somewhere else. So we got two ways to look at that. I'm for it. I think this is a good time to implement it because then people can learn new habits once, if and when things do reopen, to say we can't go down this street anymore. But anything that's going to contribute to the already bad congestion up here by Sunset Cliffs and Voltaire, I'd be interested to see what some of the studies in the other areas, you say it's slowed down the speed on some of those streets, but has it increased traffic in the adjacent areas? So I think that we might see a bit of a negative impact up here in District 1. So I guess there's two ways of looking at it. If we're going to do it, let's do it. If we ultimately look and a few months down the road that it's not working, we should probably just move it.
George.
Yeah, I agree with a temporary plan on the first part. And then look and see what happens in the long term. There's a bunch of cities around the country that have closed off streets and the businesses still seem to be able to survive. And I don't know if they do it through the alleys in the back, which isn't a possibility for the people on Bacon, but it would be on Newport. So I think just looking at it in the beginning and see how it works out, and then maybe doing something a little more later when we could maybe generate some more support.
Jane.
Well, does this mean that no trucks at all could be on Bacon?
So it's concerns are coming in, because it is, since it's self-enforced and it's technically close to through traffic, I think the trucks would still be using it, despite, you know, being close to through traffic, unless, you know, you made the temporary blockades really, really small so they couldn't get through. So I don't know, but yeah.
Well, I could support it. Put it as long as it's temporary and it has a sunset clause.
Okay. Thank you, Jane.
Jenna.
I definitely support this. I think it does make sense to make it temporary, because I think that there's a lot of opportunity here with COVID and a lot of need for having more space to spread out and bike. And so it makes sense to try it out in this time. I think it makes sense to try on, but if there's a lot of pushback on Bacon, it also makes sense to explore other streets as options. And I heard Andre say that, for example, Abbott doesn't have a lot of car traffic, and that's actually the street closest to the ocean. And so that could be another street that we explore if there's a lot of OBMA, for example, on Bacon. And then I also liked the idea of closing off Newport, more of like a walking district, walking and shopping. So yeah, I support it with also options to think about other streets.
All right, thank you.
Kevin.
First off, Newport being affected is totally off limits. In my eyes, these people are suffering badly. I got an 18-month-old chasing me. The thing I like about Bacon, at least parts of Bacon, is it's in line with more years. I was always confused by the idea of restricting it and making a new one. And I believe that's where the BMA's gripes came from. I attended one of their meetings, and they were just completely irate about the concept of impacting that intersection. So I would propose Bacon, it's kind of the north part of Bacon, to eliminate through traffic, but it'd have to be a full closure. Tourists aren't going to obey a recommendation sign. Don't go this way. You know. I would say that it has to close at 7-Eleven, and it'd have to be a full closure at Pizza Port. Anyone that lives on Bacon can come in from Cable. I don't know why that affects delivery trucks. They don't have to go down West Point Home to Bacon. Come in on Sunset and down, you know, Newport or something else to get there. I would absolutely support that. There was some talk about Sunset Cliffs in Campbell's letter. There's sort of a dual purpose there, is people are trying to get rid of cars, not so much open it to people. There's too many damn people there to begin with, and encouraging more seems like a bad idea. Not a lot of people living there. A lot of street parking. So the people that the tourists coming in are going to find parking. I would not want to do anything to encourage more people in that area at all, especially not without some input from the residents. So I would only advocate for the north end of the state.
From Niagara?
No, I would say Santa Monica, or maybe Newport is on that intersection.
My north and south's mixed up, sorry. Yeah.
I would say maybe Santa Monica or even Saratoga, full closure up near there.
Okay, so keeping the connectivity from the Mission or the River Bike Trail onto Bacon, going all the way to the business district, and then stopping there.
Everything south of there would be, you know, as it is now. But by closing the north part of it with traffic, people wouldn't use it as a route. It would still be open. Anyone coming in from the side street go there, but people will be diverted. So I that's always how I envisioned the Bacon Street bike rule part of it. So it would be a good test for that.
Sure. Thank you, Kevin.
Newman. You're muted.
I got it. Okay, you're live.
I concur with you guys. I like your thoughts. I'll ride your coattails.
Thank you, Newman.
Nicole.
I think Nicole is typing her comments. I think I saw something. She had, I'm in favor as long as it stops on Santa Monica, so echoing Kevin's. Also, Abbott makes more sense to me. It's next to the beach. It has a natural endpoint at Newport. Closing Newport in its entirety will kill the small businesses. They are still open and are really struggling right now. Cyclodeus was our worst day for profits in 10 years. So she doesn't want to make a habit out of it. If you remember, Cyclodeus was the one that closed down all the streets throughout OB, and it was all walking and biking friendly that one day. Okay, perfect.
Richard.
Thank you, Nicole.
Yes, first of all, I agree with that cycle bias. I've talked with many of the merchants, and it was the worst day of profits ever. That was the dumbest idea in the world from a merchant's point of view. First and second, if you guys want to do a slow street, reduce the speed limit. That's what makes it a slower street. By blocking off the street, you're not slowing it. You're closing it. So I don't know what you're going to get other than more traffic down other streets. You're redirecting the whole flow of traffic in Ocean Beach by closing the street. There's no way I would ever support closing down any of the streets here, unless, of course, you're just going to do it during this COVID. The streets are pretty much barren right now anyways, except the bicycles and skateboards. And to self-enforce traffic on Bacon, that would never work. Anybody that thinks that would work is, wow, that's wrong. So I don't support this. But I agree with Craig's comment. Absolutely. It's very insightful. It would have to have a sunset clause. Only during this pandemic would I support. Abbott would be the logical choice to me, actually, as it is towards the end down by the beach. That's all I have to say.
I'm going to skip to Virginia.
All right, let me see if she typed in her comments.
I'm trying to.
Okay. Yeah, I am in favor of trying any temporary measures to benefit pedestrians and cyclists. Make changes after the traffic period. No
chat right here.
Okay, got it.
Tracy, did you get that?
Yeah, I got it. Okay, I'm going to go next.
I muted you. I thought the noise was coming from you.
No.
Virginia in favor of temporary measures.
Okay. Okay. I'll go next, Tracy. I am in favor of trying this temporarily on Abbott, for one. I am also actually in favor of trying it on Ebers because that is more of a neighborhood walking area. Abbott is kind of the direct route to the beach. It makes sense to make it a walkable area. Ebers is in the neighborhoods and there are, you know, more families and people who want to travel on that road a little bit more. Well, I mean, maybe not Andrea, but you know, some people would rather.
Kevin was doing the
8 a.m. Yeah. Okay. So, I'm in favor of both Abbott and Ebers, but I strongly want to suggest that we try this on Bacon. Bacon is our bike boulevard. Bacon is going to go through some changes, and we might as well start seeing how it's going to play out with this temporary measure. I mean, I think that this is a great opportunity to see how Bacon would be if we slowed the street or tried something a little different. And as long as it does have a sunset clause, like what Craig was saying, like we evaluate it in the stage 4 of the opening process, I think that that would be, I think bacon could really be an interesting experiment. So that is, that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Tracy. Okay. So based on the average daily traffic counts, my vote would, from just looking at those numbers from a number perspective, not knowing anything else, Abbott would be my vote. I echo Jenna's thoughts about it, you know, being right along the beach, people kind of want to walk along the beach down there, and it has a natural ending point that, you know, could easily be kind of taken back. I think Ebers would be interesting. I worry because, as we all know, it's most of our group point. Instead of taking Sunset Cliffs home, maybe people over in District 1 don't know, but the rest of us who live in the deep south of OB really rely on Ebers to get all the way through. I am in heavy support of trying bacon out, not as a slow street, but as a temporary one-way street for southbound traffic. That way, delivery trucks could come through. We maintain all of our parking. We could extend, you know, the sidewalk out and put in a temporary protected bike path without harming any of the delivery trucks. Because I think Nicole made another comment about how Amazon delivery trucks would be allowed through, but our delivery trucks to local businesses kind of wouldn't be allowed through, and that, you know, that doesn't sit well with me. I don't like the bigger companies kind of taking out our local mom and pop, like getting priority over our mom and pop shops, if that makes sense. Julie Klein has a comment, and then I'm also going to get to some more of Nicole Burgess's comments because I saw you put a lot of them down there.
Am I unmuted?
Oh, yeah. If Julie wants to talk, let Julie talk.
I would love to speak. After being a business owner 34 years at the same location, 1877 Bacon Street, and being in my office 5 or 6 days a week, I see the trucks. And even during COVID time, we're very fortunate that the little tiny dog store is doing a really great business from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. They get their delivery trucks once or twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays. And that would really put a damper on them because it's impossible to load in the alleys. Another person that's doing really well is OB Corner. You've got to remember that they have been open, their variety store, and they get deliveries 2 or 3 times a week. You may not see them, but they come. And these guys have hydraulic lifts, big trucks. So cutting off Bacon Street in any form would be a real true damper for the business owners because the delivery trucks wouldn't get through. And as we know, our building was built in the 20s, so we do not have alley access at all in the back for the OB Corner, which is, everyone knows, on the corner of Newport and Bacon. I've also seen more parking because, thank goodness, the Bird scooters are all gone. And the delivery guys, again, were jumping for joy that they didn't have to maneuver around the corners because somebody decided to put the scooter parking in front of Bahia Brava, you know, the little Mexican restaurant. And now that those have been eliminated, it makes it even easier for Newport Farms, which is on the other corner, and they constantly are having deliveries 2 or 3 times a week. So I'm really not in favor. I love the walkability. There's no question during this time more people are walking, riding their bikes, and there are less cars. But in the last 6 weeks, you guys, the last 52 days, the last 6 days, things are starting to get back to normal. Not many businesses are open, but Bacon is a big thoroughfare. And you got to remember, now we have that new Mexican restaurant, which is where Natty's was. They really are embracing their outdoor patio. They, too, have always taken their deliveries right there at that same location. So I hate to put a damper on you guys, but as someone else mentioned, closing down the business streets for bike lanes, I love Nicole. She's been amazing. But it's another hard walk to have. I like that people are using our streets for bikes and are obeying the rules and letting the bikes, you know, take their lane. But I
I'm not in favor of really eliminating, making it one way, or even having bacon close at any time just for the businesses. They'll be struggling as it is. So again, just thank you for listening. You guys take that to heart, because I literally sit in that office and I can see all the trucks every day. So thank you.
Thank you, Julie. All right, Nicole, I saw you make a lot of comments. Do you want to just give maybe no more than 1 minute summary of what you want to say? And then I'm going to call for a motion, unless someone else wants to speak, put it in the chat box while Nicole's talking, so we can get through this, because we're over by 9 minutes, and I don't know about the rest of you, but I need to start. All right, Nicole, if you want to hop on and just...
Sure. You know what,
summarize your comments.
Am I unmuted?
Yep, you're good.
So I just put it in the chat box, so you just saw some of the comments as you guys were making your comments. I don't really need to reiterate everything.
Okay.
Most of it's all said. So I appreciate you guys all.
Thank you, Nicole. Yeah, thanks for being here. Okay, do I have any more public comments? Before, and remember, if you don't want to speak now, it's okay. Tomorrow at 7 p.m., OB Town Council will be going all over this. Okay, yes, Andrew.
Just one quick note, in case somebody wants to put this in their motion. I think I've heard this come up before. People have suggested putting some sort of measurable idea into what's going forward. I hope nobody puts a measuring or metric in there. I think it's unreliable, hard to measure, and there can be so much back and forth on whether there's the right or wrong thing to measure. So if we do put something in there, it's a sunset. I think that's more appropriate than actual metrics being studied, because people will not have consensus at the end of the day.
I sense a conflict here with the businesses and the bicyclists, and I don't think it's been adequately addressed. I don't understand how closure of part of Bacon, or even one-way closure, hurts them. I don't understand that part of the deliveries. Are the delivery trucks turning left on Bacon off West Point Loma and went all the way down?
Yes.
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
And would a one-way street entering only fix that? I mean, they're not doing a U-turn on Bacon, please. But there's got to be something that's compatible with both uses.
Yeah, no, the way Danny explained it to me was that most delivery trucks also make stops on Voltaire, so they often either come all the way in through Sunset Cliffs and turn down Newport, or go down Voltaire, make their deliveries, and then turn down Bacon.
And they could still do that with the one-way southbound Bacon, where they can come out on Abbott.
That's what I imagined, yes.
I wanted to make a quick comment on Abbott. There is a surf rider, there's a point off Laundry there. Numerous businesses that are sprinkled in with the residential there. I think that'd be very unfair to them. Also, Abbott doesn't have a paved path west like Bacon does. So Abbott is totally off the table in my eye. Bacon connects to the bike path, as we all know, so any way to make a little space there. I really like Andrea's idea of making it be a southbound only. Maybe that will still work for OBMA.
That's all I have. So again, if we have someone who wants to make a motion.
Andrea, I have a comment.
Awesome. Go for it, Craig.
Hear me? Am I unmuted?
Yeah.
Okay. The concern would be, even if you went one way southbound, that would basically make Bacon a one-lane street, correct?
We would, yeah, I think the goal of this...
You're going to make the street narrower and make it one way. So that would mean that if a delivery truck were stopped to make a delivery in a one-lane street, that one lane would be blocked. traffic could get through during the delivery. So I just don't see how that would be workable. Basically, it comes down to, you know, two things. You either make it impossible for delivery trucks to utilize bacon as a roadway or a loading area, mm-hmm. or you have a delivery trucks, but with a narrower street, anytime there's a delivery, traffic won't be able to get past.
That
doesn't sound like a workable situation. It's going to be de facto diverting to Abbott and Cable.
Well, we're going to discuss this at length tomorrow. So I would really like a motion that we can just bring to town council, kind of summarizing all of the points we want heavily considered at tomorrow's discussion. Yes, Tracy.
I have one statement, and I will make a motion. I just want to let everybody know that the roundabout on West Point Loma and Bacon is happening. We got a notice in the mail that said that it's actually being planned, and it's funded, and it's ready to go. As some of you guys know, I have been not in favor of that, and for a long period of time on the CIP website, it did not say anything about a roundabout, but they apparently added it within the last few months, as well as a couple other improvements that they added to the same CIP. So I don't
report at the end.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's going to affect the traffic on Bacon at all, though. That's what I'm just trying to say. So it's going to happen, and I don't know if it's going to slow the traffic on Bacon or make it more difficult for deliveries. I don't know. But anyway, so I would make a motion to strongly suggest Abbott as being a temporary slow street, and also suggesting Ebers as a temporary slow street.
Okay, so we have Tracy's motion. So we have three motions on the floor, none with this right now. So we have Tracy's motion of suggesting Abbott and Ebers. I also have a motion from Kevin. I move to make Bacon one way southbound only from Voltaire to Saratoga to create dedicated bike lane. And then I have one from Derek. We don't have one from Derek. So we have.
I was first.
So we have two motions. Do I have a second for either of those?
Julie?
Jenna. Okay, so I have a second from Tracy's motion from Jenna.
What do we got?
Tracy, we have a second on your motion, so please repeat your motion.
Okay, so make slow streets from Abbott or on Abbott and on Ebers in a temporary capacity until we can evaluate the level 4 re-entry.
Can you make that in a form of a recommendation that we can give to council tomorrow?
Do you want me to write it, or do you want me to say it right now? What do you?
Yeah, it would be like we're recommending.
Oh, okay.
The planning board would recommend consideration of such and such for the slow street initiative.
Okay, so I motion that the planning board makes a recommendation that Abbott and Ebers become temporary slow streets, and that they are evaluated once we begin reopening after the COVID epidemic lifts.
Nicole Uno wants to know what the east and west boundaries are. Do you mean north-south? It's okay. I got confused here. North-south boundaries on that would be.
We haven't discussed that.
All right. Well, do you want to put it in your motion, Andrew? Or, sorry, Tracy?
It would obviously be like probably Voltaire to maybe Santa Monica.
Okay. Yeah. You could also leave it out of your motion for more consideration tomorrow. Okay, Andrew, do you have something to say? Otherwise, we need to call for the vote.
I'd like to make a friendly suggestion that I completely understand and respect what Tracy is saying, but I think in the purview of where this conversation started from with what Nicole is talking about, I don't know if suggesting two alternatives before the original concept has been fully reviewed, vetted, ultimately all this is going to have to be the city anyway, to see what's reasonable, legal, safe, you know, whatever. I like what Tracy's saying, but I would just include any streets and make, say you prioritize the option A, B, or C, but to not just to say that we don't want to do Bacon because some people don't want to see Bacon. Some people are going to come out tomorrow and say we don't want to see Evers or any other street for that matter. So if we're supportive of the initiative, I think the purpose should be, are we supportive of an initiative and let Sydney implement it safely and responsibly versus prioritizing one or two streets that may or may not even be feasible. And then to add to that, there is I think the community master plan already suggests streets that are supposed to be prioritized for this type of use. And if, I don't have it in front of me, but if the streets Tracy's
prioritized. Evers and Bacon. I know, I'm sorry. This was old. I had a whole map and everything.
Okay, well, I don't mean to derail it, but I just thought it might be helpful to move.
That's, I mean,
up or down.
Well, Drew, I second your motion.
All right. So, Tracy, I don't know how you would accept that friendly amendment, or would you accept it? We have to vote on Tracy's motion, so.
I really don't want to let the city decide what we want as the community.
Okay. So the motion now is to recommend that that it would be a recommendation to the town council that the planning board thinks, correct me if I'm wrong, the best options for this slow street initiative are Abbott and Evers. Kevin, I have to call the vote. So Tracy, read the roll.
Anthony.
Okay, yes. Yay.
Andrea.
Yes.
Andrew.
I'm sorry, I have to vote no, but I gotta reiterate, I would vote yes if it was open-ended.
Craig.
Hey, Andrew.
Craig? No. Thumbs down. Chris?
I'm opposed.
Derek?
Nay.
George?
Nay.
Jane?
Yes.
Jenna?
Yay.
Kevin? What was that?
Hey.
Hey. All right. I was muted.
Nicole.
No.
Thank you. Newman. Newman.
Did we lose Newman?
We may have lost Newman. Richard.
Negative. Nay.
Virginia, I don't see what Virginia, up or down, Virginia? Up,
yay.
I vote yay, and the motion does not pass.
All right, does anyone have another motion? Otherwise, we have to close this up. We already lost Newman. I know Nicole and Kevin are probably being chased around by their children as well.
I have a motion on the floor.
Okay.
Let me scroll up here. I move to temporarily convert Bacon Street to a one-way southbound only from Voltaire to Saratoga Avenue.
Do we have a second? will second. Okay, great. Tracy, call the roll.
Hold on, that was Craig. Okay, Anthony.
I say yes to Kevin's motion.
Andrea.
I'll support.
Andrew.
Right, dude.
Yes.
Craig.
No, Craig.
Craig said no?
Yay. Craig said yay.
Chris.
Opposed.
Derek.
Yeah, I'm also nay.
George.
Yay.
Jane.
No.
Jenna.
Yay. Oh, sorry.
Kevin.
Yay.
Nicole.
Yay.
Newman is not here. Richard.
Opposed.
I am for this one as well. And Virginia.
Up. Yay.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We have 10 yays.
Motion passes. Can you write up both those votes? So I'll report them to town council tomorrow for me, Tracy. Thank you.
Hey, Kevin, Kevin, can you send me your motion, exactly how it's worded? Just email it to me, please.
All right. Thank you. This was a really good discussion tomorrow, and I have a lot to bring to town council. So thank you all, and I hope you attend tomorrow. I want to move into the short-term vacation rental thing really, really quickly. Everyone who wants to be on the ad hoc committee, please type yes into the chat box. And then I would like to motion to approve to create a short-term vacation ad hoc committee. Includes...
I'll make it.
Thank you.
So, I want to interject here. I don't want to have 30 people on this committee, and we also have some community members not on the board there. So,
yeah,
we should whittle down the list, hopefully. My desire is that we have broad representation from various cities. I don't want it on this committee. I want people with knowledge of the issue, whether they're for or against, business owners, hosts, residents, everyone. I want to get something realistic for council.
All right, thank you. I don't think we can really, exclude anyone. What is your idea? What would be your ideal number?
I would say 7 or 8 people. Get more than that, and the meetings are just
okay.
People
want to
attend if they're not a
voting
member.
All right, I accept people right now. Who put yes in the chat box. So that would be myself, Anthony. Jordan Randall, PT, please provide your full name in the comment. I got Virginia. Kevin. Jenna.
Who is Jordan? I would ask that anyone that's not on the board and they do a real quick introduction to themselves before we start appointing random people.
Hey Kevin, sure thing. Jordan here. Yeah, I've been a resident for just about 7 years, live on Voltaire, and interested in being a part of the community.
Do we have PT Pedro, was it? I think I read that quickly, sorry.
This is Pedro Tavares. Does it sound right? Or must that be?
Pedro.
Tavares, and what is your interest in joining the short-term vacation?
I'm a short-term rental host. Obi.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Hey, Jordan, what's your last name?
Randall.
Thank you.
I'm also happy to just attend the meeting and not be a voting member if that helps Kevin your concerns.
Can I just ask, how is this committee going to function? Is there going to be a report out to the full board on a regular basis, or can we just talk a little bit about what this committee is going to do and what the process is around that? Because I'm interested, as you all know, but I don't need to crowd it if there's going to be regular report outs and an opportunity for the rest of us planners to sort of vet whatever is being discussed at the ad hoc level.
Right. Well, ad hoc committees are not official committees, so they usually have an expiration date or one specific goal that they would look into. The committee wouldn't, or this ad hoc committee wouldn't generally report back regularly. They would meet a few times to come up with an ordinance recommendation, and then once that's moved forward to the board, it would disband because their work would be done. That's what ad hoc committees are. They're not standing committees like the review committees or the transportation committee or things working on stuff. They're just formed for one purpose, and once that purpose is done, they're disbanded. Kevin, anything to add?
Just to clarify, the purpose of the ad hoc would be to bring forth multiple workable proposals for short-term vacation policy to the full board, which the full board can act on.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. That's kind of what I was looking for. I report to an ad hoc committee every month, and I have for about 4 years now, so they can function in the long term. Capacity as well, but I appreciate the input in that whatever this committee is discussing will be brought forth to this board to then have input and action on. So with that, though I have interest, I won't ask to join the ad hoc committee.
Great. Tracy, can you read back all the names we have?
Yeah, so we have, I'm going to list the committee or the board members first and then the two members of the public. Andrea, Anthony, Virginia, Kevin, and Jenna are members, board members, and we have Jordan Randall and Pedro Tavares as community members. Want to vote?
Also, what's the policy on adding people to committees?
We can appoint them at later full board meetings. And again, ad hoc committees, anyone from the public, anyone can attend them if they want to. Okay, so we have a motion to form the committee with the mission statement of coming to the board with a workable short-term vacation rental ordinance that the board can then take action on and send to city council.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Craig.
And I will probably hang out occasionally.
Thank you.
I thought Craig firsted it already.
I did?
Yeah.
Okay. I was kind of making the motion to speed things along, but we can do Craig first. I'll second it. I'm just
okay. Calling a vote. Anthony.
Yay.
Andrea.
Yay.
Andrew.
Yay.
Craig.
Yay.
Christopher.
Yes.
Derek.
Yay.
George.
Yay.
Jane. Did Jane say yeah? Anybody?
Do I see her picture?
I see her picture, yeah. Thumbs up or thumbs down, Jane? Oh, there she went again. She's gone. I'm going to... What do you think, Jane? Up or down?
Oh.
Up.
Yay.
Okay. Jenna.
Yay.
Kevin.
Yay.
Nicole.
She says yay in the chat.
Thank you. Newman.
Newman's gone.
Richard.
Roger that.
Tracy. Yay. Virginia. Thumbs up. Okay, that passes.
Awesome. I have the emails for, because everyone had to register for this meeting. So Kevin, will send the emails of our new members who are not on the board to you, and you can circulate a poll to when we can all meet. Great. What do we have left? Chair announcements. Everyone take that Parks and Rec survey, and please, if you can, if you have the time, make a public comment on the budget committee hearing on Monday at 6 p.m. You can either submit them in writing beforehand, just as many comments as we possibly can. That would be wonderful. Rewrite that letter tonight. I just once again urge anyone, if you have the time, you think you want to be a liaison to anything, just go ahead and see if they're holding any virtual meeting. Chris asked for my current update, so we're going to go to Chris, and then we'll go through any other liaison reports.
Thanks, Andrea. Just really quickly, everybody, in addition to the work that I do at the arts program at the airport, I also sit on the San Diego Regional Arts and Culture Coalition Steering Committee, try to say that 10 times. And I just want to make everyone aware, if you're an arts organization or you know folks who work in a small or mid-level arts organization, there is now $250,000 on the table open for anyone to apply for. The one caveat is you have to have an operating budget of $150,000 to $1.5 million. But like I said, $250,000 are now available. The grant application period closes on May 15th. There'll be a second round after that when more money's coming in. Tracy knows a little bit about this, but just wanted to put that out there. It was released on Friday. It hasn't got a lot of promotion yet, but we're trying to spread the word a little bit. So if you know arts organizations or folks in that category, tell them to Google San Diego Arts and Culture Challenge Fund.
Thank you. Tracy, you got an update?
Yeah, I can also add to that challenge fund is not only something that artists can apply for, but it's also
treasurer's
something...
Treasurer's report. Oh. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, is Tracy still around?
Yeah, there she is.
Okay, Tracy, did you get my verification on the numbers last month that it was 1,129.08.
Yes.
For April?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So the current bank balance as of 5 excuse the dog, $902.10. And also letting you know that since we maxed out our $500 reimbursement a month from the city, I will be submitting the invoice this week with a total of $614.18. The bulk of that being both the P.O. box rental and the parade and the street fair outreach budget. So we're maxed out. We're hopefully the city will get us the $500, if that's even still available. But I will submit for reimbursement by the end of the week.
Thanks, Greg.
That's it.
Any other liaison reports? Good news, bad news? Tracy?
Yeah, I just want to reiterate the San Diego Arts and Culture Challenge is not only something that artists can apply for, but it's also something that people can donate to. So if you're looking for a place to donate that helps artists, then that would be a great place to donate some money. Also, there's an initiative right now that's going to be happening with the Arts and Culture Commission that is called San Diego Partners, or SD Partners. And they've been allotted a large sum of money to be able to purchase art from artists to be placed inside the inside community, placed in public art areas, places that are needed. So The applications and everything will be available for that soon. And it's one of those things that I think you just, you know, if you have some great art and you think it would be great for a specific location, I would encourage people to apply. And the money is there to, you know, help artists survive, but it's also there to get art for our community. And then as far as board secretary stuff goes, I have nothing.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone since the 2 weeks we haven't seen? All right. Thank you all for bearing with us. I know it ran a little bit longer than I intended it to. I am trying to keep these meetings to 2 hours. There are a lot more, I think, to do over online. But thank you all again for your great comments and insights. I think the discussion is very productive. I think we have some good suggestions and commentary coming out of this discussion to take to the OB Town Council tomorrow. And hopefully I'll see some of you guys there. Take care for the rest of the night, guys.
Thank you all. Bye.